Listen, are you finding you're fighting fear? Are you feeling that you are facing fear? God did not give us a spirit of fear. I mean, that right there. But rather, he gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control or self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of fear.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're thankful that you've joined us today because today we walk into a brand new series. And it's a series for all of us. It's a series that focuses our hearts on the answer to a very big problem in our lives. Right, Robbie?
That's right. It's the problem of fear. Fear, worry, anxiety, maybe even as I say those words, you get a little bit of something going on within you and just feeling that tensing up of our muscles and whatnot as we think about the things that we are so afraid. Our world does operate in fear. I love that this is where truth sets us free. So God has brought his word to your mind and your heart today to hear this. Listen, you have no reason to fear. If you are a child of God, that is true. You belong to Jesus Christ. That is true. If you love the Lord and you know he loves you, then the truth ultimately boils down to, man, you are his and he is yours. And when you see that and you love him and see him clearly, then fear dissipates and faith replaces it. That's the purpose of this psalm in Psalm 27, written by David. Again, coming to your home, your car, your workplace today to set you free from unnecessary fear. So may that happen. Hey, Craig, what an opportunity for our listeners today.
Absolutely. And hey, listeners, if you finish our time today and you say to yourself that you would love to get a copy of that message, then please make sure you visit us online at our website for a download of it. Our website address is liveinthelight, that's LIGHT.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. And while you're there, you can order the entire copy of this entire series. All right, out with fear, in goes faith. Let's go right now to Psalm 27, and here again is Robbie.
Anyone done cliff jumping ever into water? Anyone done that before? Anyone? All right, so I have a little bit. What's cliff jumping like? Well, you approach the cliff usually from the water, and you look up at it, and you're like, that's not so bad. I can do that. And then you start walking up the cliff somehow and climbing your way up, and you get down. You're like, this is looking a little higher than I thought. And then you get to the edge. You're standing there, and you're like, wow, this is really higher than I thought. And I've jumped some high cliffs in my day, and then the older I get, the lower the height seems to get of the cliffs I'm willing to jump at. And I'm standing there, my family, we had some friends with us too, and they were in the boat, and you know, you have your kids kind of egging you on, come on, Dad, do it. And you're there, and you're standing there, and you're looking at it, and you're like, I actually feel some fear. Like, I genuinely, my heart starts to beat a little faster, and I'm like, this isn't so bad, but it's like, Simon, you're a wimp, or whatever it is, but you're looking at it, and you're like, I don't want to do this, you know, and they're like, come on, Dad, don't let me down, those type of things, you know, like, oh, man, you know, and so what do you do? You're like, okay, come on, just do it. So finally, you take the leap, and you run and jump, and in midair, you're like, I'm gonna die, that's it, like, I'm getting older, man. I never used to be this way, but I'm like, and then you just hit the water and you're like, please. And then you go down, you come up and you get up and you're like, that was awesome, right? Right? That was awesome. And then like, I'm going to do it again. Well, maybe not this year, right? But I feel like doing it again. And that's a great example, I think, for where we're going with this psalm and really where we are in the Christian life. So many of us, the will of God sometimes asks us to jump off a cliff. And we stand there and we got fear, man. And we're like, I don't want to do it. And God's like, hey, I got your back and everything else too. He's like, I'm your father. I perfectly protect you and guide you. I'm asking you to take this leap of faith. Will you do it? And so often in fear, we feel fear. We don't do it. Listen. And the people who don't, if God is asking them to jump off this cliff into the water, not if he isn't, but if he's asking you and you don't do that because of fear, listen, you lose out. Loved ones, make a note of this. Fear stinks. All right? Fear is crippling to us. Let's learn some things about fear. Number one, fear is everywhere. Much of our society is based on fear. Our media earns money off of causing us to feel fearful over almost everything. Secondly, fear is crippling. Fear is crippling. Thirdly, because fear is crippling, then fear kills faith. Fear kills our faith. It works against the faith that God wants us to exercise in him. And if these things are true, then fourthly, fear then makes us weak, not in a good way. It weakens our faith, and then we lose out. So fear is something that we want to attack. Faith is something that we want to pursue. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of..." What'd he say? A spirit of fear. Interesting. Listen, are you finding you're fighting fear? Are you feeling that you are facing fear? God did not give us a spirit of fear. I mean, that right there. But rather, he gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control or self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of fear. And therefore, we are seeking to pursue him, to go for him. And that is really what Psalm 27 is going to do for us right now. So here's the reality. My prayer, all of us face fear. All of us have fear of many things. And my prayer is that God will surgically perform on us and draw out from us the places in our lives where we are fearful. What we're going to find out too, it's not just like you're biting your nails every day saying, oh my goodness, and that happens as well. Worry and stress, they're all forms of fear. Fear of what? Fear that you don't think God's got your back. A lot of us though, get in situations of like, God, how could you do this to me? God, where are you? You're fearful. You're not trusting him. That's fear. And so we're praying lives will be changed in our time here in Psalm 27. And we can't do that as always. The Lord has to do that. So we pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray as we begin to begin in this Psalm 27 and your word, which is alive and active. I am seeking you, Lord. I pray that you will cause us, Lord. You will ask many of us to stand at the edge of a cliff and to jump according to your will, because you have great things for us. For many of us, Lord, you will have us stand at the edge of that boat asking us to step on water. Lord, I pray for so many people that there would be so much application and change. I pray, God, you'd be so glorified. I pray, Lord, you'll be speaking powerfully and bringing such a time of encouragement to your people. You will challenge us today. You will rebuke us in love by your word, but I pray that will be used for great things in you. Lord, for every heart here right now, may they be so willing and open and honest to look at themselves and say, God, where's the fear? All of us have fear, often every day in several ways. And I pray more and more we'd be growing in maturity in Christ to say, I may be afraid, but God has my back and everything else too. Therefore, I trust in him and not in self. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Hey, who's with me? Amen. All right, let's get to our text. Psalm 27, we're dealing with the first three verses today. David, who wrote the psalm, he says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me," he says, "to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes," notice, "it is they who stumble and fall." I love verse 3, "though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me," he ends with this, "yet I will be confident." Our sermon title is the same as our series title, No Reason to Fear. No reason to fear. But as many of you are thinking, as I'm about to say, that is easy to say, but hard to live out. And again, if we're honest, many of us fight fear. Some of us live in constant fear. But today, God's word will challenge us to change. And as with everything else in the Christian life, it becomes a battle over the mind for the heart. It's a battle that starts in the mind, and it's always about and for the heart, because these are the things that affect how we live. Listen, how you think will equal how you live. What you believe and what you believe to be true will determine who you are and how you live out your life in Jesus Christ. So let's start then with this glorious truth in fighting fear. Number one, why should I not fear? Here it is. Try this out. The Lord is mine. That's why. If you are in Jesus Christ and you've been saved by him, this is the reason you should not fear, because the Lord is mine. Why was David one of the greatest saints ever? Despite his failures and his sin, why was he so powerfully used? Here's why. Because he was a man after God's own heart, Acts 13. David was a man after pursuing, passionately following the heart of God. See, one of the reasons we love the Psalms so much is because they're so personal, passionate, and powerful. And particularly, I argue, in the Psalms of David, who wrote 39 Psalms in the Word of God. And what I want you to see here is how personal David is with his God, how passionate David is in his pursuit of God, and I want us to see how powerful the truth is here that David pens. Again, why was David able to live out such a powerful life? Listen, in the midst of such potential fear, well, listen to what he says. Verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, so often we speak in terms referring to the fact that we belong to God, that we are his possession, and which, of course, is absolutely true. That is a beautiful truth. That is a wonderful truth. Listen, if we are saved in Christ, then that means we are children of God. But if we are children of God, then here's what's also true, which I think at times we seem to misplace or forget. That means we are God's children, which then also means that he is our Father. You know, we often pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But do we really understand, even know what we are saying when we say our Father, how powerful, how magnificent, how glorious that is? That means that you are God's child and he is your Father. The Lord God Almighty is your Father. Or you can say this way, I am his and he is mine. We're going to respond with a great hymn after this message called Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. The last verse says this, Jesus, I do now receive him. More than all in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. See, this is where, like, when I'm worshiping, it's like, Jesus, I do now receive him. More than all in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. And my hands just can't stay down. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and it says, and I am his and he is mine. Like, if you're anywhere near the throne of grace at that moment, if you have any heartbeat for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have any idea what you're singing, and you belt out the words, I am his and he is mine, it's, I am his I belong to him, and therefore he belongs to me. Awesome. Awesome. Again, in verse 1, David writes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You see that? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Not only is he the Lord is light, the Lord is salvation, but he says, my light and my salvation. So loved ones, do you want to fight fear? You have to get personal with God. You have to get personal with God. This is pursuing him, hungering for him, drawing near to him, okay? So when you're sitting in the lap of God, you're feeling pretty safe. And this is what your Father wants to do. I mean, do you ever, as a parent, ever have your kids come and run up into your lap and just cuddle you? Every now and then I do in the mornings. It's awesome. And as you do that with your God, and you understand your Father wrapping your arms, men, it's okay to think this way, okay? Because God is your shepherd. And he loves you and guides you and protects you. It's easier for women to kind of acknowledge these symbols, but it's true for all of us who are God's. We are children. We are children. We're going to have childlike faith. And when you're sitting on the lap of God and you're nestled into him, you're not afraid. You understand who it is you belong to. Listen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Are you saved in Christ? The Lord is your light. The Lord is your salvation. Who is? The Lord is. Who's the Lord? He's the Lord of the universe. He's the God of all glory. He is the one who holds the universe in his hands. In fact, I read this week in Isaiah 40. It says that the Lord, our God, measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. So I said to my son, Aiden, come here. How much water can you hold in the hollow of your hand? And he's like, a couple drops. Okay, well, your God, Aiden, God can hold all of the waters and the oceans, anything you can think of, the whole water of the earth in the hollow of his hand. All the oceans and all the blue whales, all the sharks, everything he can hold, all the water and all the earth in the hollow of his hand. That's your God. Do you think he can take care of you? You're like, well, I'm in a hard place. Do you think he can take care of you? This is the God that you serve. This is the God that you love, and this is the God who loves you. The Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let's break down verse 1 then. Get ready to be encouraged and get ready to punch fear right in the gut. Anyone want to punch fear in the gut? Yes, amen. All right, we're going to do that right here. The Lord is my light. My light. Do you know this is the only direct application of the name light given to God in the Old Testament? There are sayings of God associated with light, but this is the only direct application of the name light given to God in the Old Testament. To find a parallel, we have to go to the New Testament. In John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is called the true light. Listen carefully. The true light which enlightens everyone. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is referred to, God is light. Listen, and in him, there is no darkness at all. So what does David mean as he calls God his light? Well, light and truth are so closely related. Jesus is called the light because he came as truth. And what does truth do? When you understand truth, you are able to see, so to speak. What does light do? Light comes as what penetrates the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light which enlightens everyone, the true light. God is my light which penetrates my darkness. Light allows us to see, truth allows us to understand. And who's kidding who, right? Who's kidding who? Darkness is frightening. Okay, this moment of honesty. Who here was afraid as a kid to go down to their basement when it was all dark? Come on, who here? Here. Thank you for your honesty. Me too, man. I remember, he's like, as a little kid, Robbie, can you go down and get me something from the basement? I'm like, oh, do I have to? And like, you step downstairs and you're just like, oh man. I remember like the furnace room over to my right. I was terrified of like whatever was in there. And it's funny, as a kid, you're like that. I met my son Cale, just turned 4, and like he was just in the summer. He was at night, and often he'll wake up and like, Dad, it's too dark. And he gets this little battery-operated tea light that just sits by his pillow, and it gives him comfort. There's some kind of sense that, listen, darkness is scary. Darkness is evil. Darkness is bad. Listen, light is awesome. Light is powerful. Light is right. Light allows us to see. Light brings peace. Light brings comfort because light is God, and light is Jesus Christ. And listen, light is truth. And when we're in darkness and we can't see, it is a scary place to be. No one likes to be sitting. Dwell all the crime that happens, the majority of our crime in our nation happens at night. It's when the cults come out to pray and to worship Satan. It's at night. Darkness, it's evil. It's a dwelling place of nothing good. And no wonder the Bible uses such imagery and symbolism. Listen to say, listen, take it to heart. The Lord is my light. Like a miner with a light on his helmet as he goes through the darkness of those shafts. The Lord, listen, the Lord is your light. Okay? And he is the light that will never be put out. This is a light that cannot be extinguished. This is a light that will never fail. You're like, I don't feel like that. It doesn't matter what you feel. You're like, I don't feel like God's leading me. It doesn't matter how you feel. This is what is true. The Lord is my light. If you are in Christ, the Lord is my light. And this light is taking you all the way to heaven. You're like, I can't see it. I don't care what you can see or what you can feel. This is what the Bible tells us is true. The Lord is your light, and he will lead you perfectly all the way to heaven. Oh yeah, there'll be some bumps along the way. Oh yeah, you might get knocked down, but he will rise you up, and you will continue to go on your lit path to glory. Why? Because the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. You know, and this is why salvation is so exciting. So he says next, he says, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Salvation is so awesome because what is it? Salvation here means deliverance. And in the context of David writing, this is deliverance from his military enemies. People are coming to literally kill him, try to kill him. And he says, Lord's my salvation. The immediate context for David is deliverance from physical armies and enemies. Our context extends a little bit further. God is definitely guaranteed to guide us and protect us as he sees fit. But we are ultimately, our salvation is spiritual. Our salvation is being delivered. Listen, Colossians 1 says, For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Awesome. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. I love salvation so much because light and salvation, light is seeing the truth, and truth embraced is salvation. It brings a person from death to life. And so I get so fired up when I see people who have come to understand and know for real that the Lord is their light and their salvation. Because what happens? What happens? They change. They go from death to life. And listen, they actually have the light of their Lord within them. You know what I'm saying? The Spirit of God has saved them. They are no longer dead. They are now alive. And you look at them and you're like, man, you got light in your face. You got light in your step. Doesn't mean it's all happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. They are now on the journey, but they are absolutely transformed in Christ. This is the promise. And listen, when that light enters into a home, I love hearing these stories too. And I was an example of this when I was in my 20s. When someone gets saved and let's say that young adult walks back into the home and they are now transformed in Christ and saved and light and so the whole house changes. The parents are like, it's a whole new house. Why? Because darkness is gone and light has replaced the darkness and salvation has come. It is, hey, parents, don't you dare give up praying. Every year, dozens and dozens of kids are being saved in this place for Jesus Christ. Dozens and dozens of homes are being infiltrated by the light and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changes everything. Children, don't you give up praying for your parents. Siblings, don't you give up praying for your other siblings. Don't you give up praying for your friends and neighbors and families. Because when the light comes and people are to say, Lord, is my light. And the Lord is my salvation. Listen, whom shall I fear? He goes on to say this, the Lord is a stronghold of my life. What does stronghold mean? I find a lot of people don't really understand that term. Many, many ways to describe stronghold. Refuge, shelter, the one we hide in. This means the Lord is David's strength or that song we sang today, the Lord is my fortress. He is my fortress. It's such a great song of pertaining to these words. You could say this, the Lord is David's defense. So we could put it this way. The Lord then is one awesome bomb shelter in our lives. I remember being in Israel and seeing these bomb shelters that one bomb shelter went to at a kibbutz we were at was used as a children's nursery. And that's pretty smart, I think, right? Where do you want your little ones to be? Let's have the nursery in the bomb shelter. That's a good idea. Talk about being safe. And what's a bomb shelter built to do? Defend, protect. It's a fortress against the severest of weapons and firestorms. God is our bomb shelter. God is our stronghold. Listen, make it personal. My stronghold. He is the stronghold of my life. And in light of this truth, light, salvation, stronghold, in light of this truth, the questions are now posed, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Why? Because the Lord is mine. Because the Lord is mine. Well, child of God, the darkness that tries to overcome you, the fear that tries to cripple you. Okay, here's what I know. I know Satan is attacking many people in our church. I know that. That's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. Listen, the further we get for Jesus Christ in this place, the more we try to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, the more we seek to move forward and gain ground for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more Satan is going to try to hurt us, stop us, kill us. That's just a reality. And some of you are here today, and listen, do not let Satan trick you. There's the danger of looking for a demon behind every door, but there's the other danger of pretending he doesn't exist. He wants either one. We are wise. We use discernment. We understand he is real. He's a formidable opponent. He prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. And child of God, if darkness is trying to overcome you, listen, the Lord is your light. And again, this light cannot be put out. This flame cannot be extinguished. This truth cannot be diminished. Listen, whether you feel it or not, the Lord lights your path. He guides, he comforts, he brings joy. Remember, don't ever forget this. Fact, faith, feeling. That's the train of life in the Christian walk. Fact, faith, feeling. Fact is the train, is the engine. Faith is the carrier passenger car and feelings are the caboose, right? So often we get the caboose of feelings leading the train of our walk in Christ. Bad plan. Bad plan. What do we always say around here, right? Feelings are great followers, but lousy leaders. Okay? Get the truth. The Lord is my light. Combine faith to that. And then the feeling, the right feelings come in Christ. Fact, faith, feeling. The Lord is your light. How about this? O child of God, the Lord is your salvation. You may feel defeated, you are not. You may feel beaten down, listen, you will rise up. You may feel conquered at times, but the truth is in Christ, Romans 8 says you are more than conquerors. You know what that means? You are a super conqueror. You are a super, super duper conqueror. Nothing can defeat you because you are in Christ. Why? Because Christ has saved you. The Lord is my salvation because he has saved you. What does it mean that Christ has saved me? Well, let's go through a little theology here. Christ has saved me. You're genuinely in Christ. That means that you have been chosen. Before the foundation of the world, you have been chosen by your Father. You have been elected. You have then been called. At the appropriate time, God gave you faith. You were regenerated by the power of his Holy Spirit. You were made a new person. You were born again. You were regenerated. Then you were justified. You were declared innocent in the sight of God. And now you're being sanctified to become more like Jesus Christ. And one day so soon, you will be glorified in perfection with your Savior for all of eternity. That's pretty cool. Christ has saved you. He has elected you and chosen you. He has then called you. And then he has regenerated you. And then he has saved you and converted you and then justified you. He has sanctified you, and one day soon he is going to glorify you again in perfection for all of eternity. That's pretty good. He's done all that for you. But so often we lose trust in our God. What else can he do? What more can he prove? What are we so afraid of? You don't think he's going to finish what he has started? Yes, he is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. O child of God, the Lord is your stronghold. The Lord is your stronghold. This takes us right into point number two. Why should I not fear? Here it is. Evil cannot beat me. Evil cannot beat me. Verse 2 says this. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Okay, let's just notice this to start. This is important. Was David's life all roses? Or did he encounter some difficulties along the way? Exactly. This is so important. How about this question? Did everyone just love David? Or did he happen to have a few opponents and enemies? Exactly. Are you expecting your life to be free from opposition? Are you expecting your life to be free from troubles and trials and concerns? You're not thinking according to the Bible then. Look at David's life here. In all seriousness, loved ones, the will of God guarantees opposition. The more you seek to live for Christ, the more others will seek to stop you. The more others will want to hurt you. The more others will want to wound you. Let's pick up a few observations from verse 2. It says, when evildoers, notice multiple evildoers assail me. This is multiple evil intending men seeking to attack and overcome David. And then notice this, to eat up my flesh. So this isn't just like, man, that David, he's a jerk. This is, I want to tear David limb from limb. His enemies are cannibalistic in their hatred for him. But so powerfully and wonderfully, he now mentions multiple adversaries and foes, and then he says this about them. It is they who will stumble and fall. It is they who stumble and fall. You know, just because in Christ, we look at this banner and we see no reason to fear, just because in Christ we have no reason to fear doesn't mean at times we will not fear. David, at times, he feared for sure. In reality, often we do fight fear. But why do we fight fear? Why do we feel fear? Here's why we feel fear, because we forget.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.